33. From noontime to sundown. From midnight to sunrise, one man, one horse, and one wagon were known to all 26,349 inhabitants of Greentown, Illinois. In the middle of the day, for no reason quickly apparent, children would stop still and say, "Here comes Mr. Jonas. Here comes Ned. Here comes the wagon." Older folks might peer north or south, east or west, and see no sign of the man named Jonas, the horse named Ned, or the wagon, which was a Conestoga, of the kind that bucked the prairie tides to beach on the wilderness. But then if you borrowed the ear of a dog and turned it high and stretched it taut, you could hear, miles and miles across the town, a singing like a rabbi in the lost lands, a Moslem in a tower. Always Mr. Jonas's voice went clear before him, so people had a half an hour to prepare for his arrival. And by the time his wagon appeared, the curbs were lined by children, as for a parade. So here came the wagon, and on its high board seat, under a persimmon-colored umbrella, the reins like a stream of water in his gentle hands, was Mr. Jonas, singing, "Junk, junk, no, sir, not junk. Junk, junk, no, ma'am, not junk. Bric-a-bracs, brick-bats, knittin'-needles, knick-knacks, kickshaws, curios, camisoles, cameos, but junk, junk, no, sir, not junk." As anyone could tell who had heard the songs Mr. Jonas made up as he passed, he was no ordinary junkman. To all appearances, yes, the way he dressed in tatters of moss corduroy and the felt cap on his head, covered with old presidential campaign buttons going back before Manila Bay. But he was unusual in this way. Not only did he tread the sunlight, but often you could see him and his horse swimming along the moonlit streets, circling and recircling by night the islands, the blocks where all the people lived he had known all of his life. And in that wagon he carried things he had picked up here and there and carried for a day or a week or a year until someone wanted and needed them. Then all they had to say was, "I want that clock," or "How about that mattress?" And Jonas would hand it over, take no money, and drive away, considering the words for another tune. So it happened that often he was the only man alive in Greentown at 3 in the morning, and often people with headaches, seeing him amble by with his moon-shimmered horse, would run out to see if by chance he had aspirin, which he did. More than once he had delivered babies at 4 in the morning, and only then had people noticed how incredibly clean his hands and fingernails were, the hands of a rich man who had another life somewhere they could not guess. Sometimes he would drive people to work downtown, or sometimes, when men could not sleep, go up on their porch and bring cigars and sit with them and smoke and talk until dawn. Whoever he was, or whatever he was, and no matter how different and crazy he seemed, he was not crazy. As he himself had often explained gently, he had tired of business in Chicago many years before and looked around for a way to spend the rest of his life. Couldn't stand churches, though he appreciated their ideas, and having a tendency toward preaching and decanting knowledge, he bought the horse and wagon and set out to spend the rest of his life seeing to it that one part of town had a chance to pick over what the other part of town had cast off. He looked upon himself as a kind of process, like osmosis, that made various cultures within the city limits available one to another. He could not stand waste, for he knew that one man's junk is another man's luxury. So adults, and especially children, clambered up to peer over into the vast treasure hoard in the back of the wagon. "Now remember," said Mr. Jonas, "you can have what you want if you really want it. The test is, ask yourself, do I want it with all my heart? Could I live through the day without it? If you figure to be dead by sundown, grab the darn thing and run. I'll be happy to let you have whatever it is." and the children searched the vast heaps of parchments and brocades and bolts of wallpaper and marble ashtrays and vests and roller skates and great fat overstuffed chairs and end tables and crystal chandeliers. For a while you just heard whispering and rattling and tinkling. Mr. Jonas watched, comfortably puffing on his pipe, and the children knew he watched. Sometimes their hands reached out for a game of checkers or a string of beads or an old chair, and just as they touched it, they looked up and there were Mr. Jonas's eyes, gently questioning them. And they pulled their hand away and looked further on, until at last each of them put their hand on a single item and left it there. Their faces came up, and this time their faces were so bright Mr. Jonas had to laugh. He put up his hand as if to fend off the brightness of their faces from his eyes. He covered his eyes for a moment. When he did this, the children yelled their thanks, grabbed their roller skates or clay tiles or bumper shoots, and, dropping off, ran. And the children came back in a moment with something of their own in their hands, a doll or a game they had grown tired of, something the fun had gone out of, like the flavor from gum. And now it was time for it to pass on to some other part of town where, seen for the first time, it would be revivified and would revivify others. These tokens of exchange were shyly dropped over the rim of the wagon down into unseen riches, and then the wagon was trundling on, flickering light on its great spindling sunflower wheels, and Mr. Jonas singing again. Junk, junk, no, sir, not junk, no, ma'am, not junk. Until he was out of sight, and only the dogs in the shadow pools under trees heard the rabbi in the wilderness, and twitched their tails. Junk, fading. Junk, a whisper. Junk, gone, and the dogs asleep.